Welcome to this episode of the award-winning Best of Left podcast. This is a sample of our recent bonus episode, usually only available to members. These episodes are comprised of our crew of researchers, Amanda and myself, all getting together for a roundtable discussion on topics that we find interesting. So here's a few minutes for free so you can know what all the fuss is about.
I do think, you know, and I was making notes about this too, and debt relief was one of the things that I was thinking about, like that gets people so enraged. And again, it's kind of this, I didn't get that when I needed it. Why are they getting it, right? It's this, someone else got ahead in line. And instead of seeing, you know, the benefits for all of us in the long run, but, you know, everything from immigrants getting asylum, women shining a light on sexual assault. There are even women who are angry about the Me Too movement because, I mean, maybe this is anecdotal, but I had heard some be like, no one cared when I was in the office getting sexually harassed. You know, it's this attitude of, I didn't get the benefit. I didn't get it then. I'm not getting it now. Someone else is getting it now. And so therefore they don't deserve it, or I deserve help more than this group. And honestly, I mean, from reading these articles, the solutions I think are primarily economic and labor oriented, but because the left is extremely neoliberal in their philosophy these days, they've let critical issues like this just fall through the cracks. So now everyone's suffering the consequences because we have a faction of the country who's just like, let's blow it all up because I didn't get what I need and I'm suffering in some way. I mean, that's pretty damaging.
Can we call it childish? We went to visit family, my daughter playing with cousins. We had to leave. They had to leave a little bit after us. My daughter is irate, furious because they're not leaving at the exact same time. So she throws a temper tantrum and ruins like, and that is this urge. It's this childish urge that, well, I didn't get it, so nobody else can, and I want to burn the whole thing down. What do we do about that? Why is this society creating so many childish people that aren't able to think about people outside of themselves, only thinking about themselves and what they want and what they can get? That's a really tough one for the Democrats to message on, like, hey, grow up, because Jimmy Carter tried to do that and it didn't really work out very well.
Yeah.
How did you calm down your daughter?
I told her to shut up, get in the car. No, I let her throw her temper tantrum when we went home.
Yeah. Well, how do we turn that into messaging?
Wasn't January 6th a temper tantrum?
Absolutely it was.
But then, you know, we all can't just go back to how it was afterwards.
And they need to be sent to their rooms without dinner for years.
Moving on to the next group of people with childish perspectives, we have a couple of articles here about supporters of the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. campaign. The first from Wired: RFK Jr. targets a generation of politically disaffected, extremely online men. And that came out before he picked his VP. And the second, forget Kennedy Democrats, here comes the 2024 Kennedy voter, which has the best subheadline.
Yes.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s coalition of the disaffected and the dismayed ask not what their government can do for them, but what it's done to them. And continuing our lens, seeing this through neoliberalism, I think that's not an unfair question, kind of. The government and wider culture has created a super messed up system that doesn't actually work for people, and therefore, when we live in a system that doesn't work for us, we end up with lots and lots of problems. And when people get desperate, they start flailing. So the previous group, the chaos agents, those who want to tear it all down, have that path. Talking about RFK Jr. voters, it really sounds more like they are desperate to get out of the absolute pit of misery that is modern politics. And they seem to think that Kennedy can like heal it. But reading quotes from people saying, you know, RFK Jr. is the only one who can heal the partisan wounds bedeviling the nation. And I was like, do you think that's because he's splitting the difference between one group whose completely irrational, conspiracy-driven, and authoritarian, maniacal, and the other group that's like well-meaning but not so good at figuring out what the country needs. If we find the middle ground between those two groups, you pretty much get RFK Jr. and their fantasy is, see, you can bring everyone together. It makes me wonder, like, shouldn't he be the person that we all can collectively agree that we hate? But not.
No, he's the middle of the Venn diagram. That's the whole campaign. And so, I mean, I thought you were going to read the other subheadline, which they say in the campaign that increasingly reflects a late night TikTok scroll, which is definitely how it feels. It feels like this little vortex of chaos of really weird fringe people all kind of coming together to give voice to the aggrieved, I guess.
I want to confess to possibly have at one point been his target audience because I used to listen to the Ring of Fire when he was on there, the host on the Ring of Fire podcast.
Yeah,
I used to listen to the Jimmy Dore show. I used to listen to Russell Brand. I used to listen to Joe Rogan's podcast. I could very easily be the RFK voter because we've talked about this before, assessing the problem or identifying the problem. I think they've been fairly good at. He kind of went off the rails with autism created by vaccines. That's one step like, oh, hang on. What'd you say? That's losing me. All the others have said stuff that's like, wait, you've said some, wait, what are you saying? So I was able to like not follow them down that path, but a lot of people have gone that way. There are a lot of people in my life that now listen to Joe Rogan regularly, think that Jimmy Dore is a real good source of information. These people are out there and we've said this many times. We're all feeling this, whatever this is, and we can call it neoliberalism or capitalism or whatever, the effects of this society on all of us. We're all feeling it. It's the solutions that sometimes are wildly different. And the burn it all down crowd, I just can't get behind it. I don't understand that urge. It's the underpants gnome thing, you know?
Totally.
First we get the underwear, then profit. First we burn it all down. In great society. How?
Right.
I need some steps.
Yeah. I mean, the RFK voters, I mean, I haven't gone to their meetings and talked to them personally. So I guess I'm not really allowed to make any judgments on them. But the ones quoted in these articles, they seem like they're just desperate for things to get fixed. They seem less like the burnt down people. But they're childish in the underpants gnomes way that they think, well, I mean, it's magical thinking is what it is. They're like, this guy could do it. So let's vote for him and he'll win. And she's like, okay, so you just don't understand like anything about anything. He has a 0% chance of winning. Therefore, you got to know that when you're calculating your vote. And that's what's scary. You know, I mean, there are RFK Jr. voters who would be terrified of Trump winning again. But there were quotes in here like, if you listen to the mainstream media, you wouldn't know this. But no, we really are true believers that he can win. It's like, maybe there are reports somewhere that these people have deluded themselves into thinking he can win, or they don't really think he can win, but they're just leveraging a protest vote or something. And they're like, nope, we really are this dumb. That's what at least some of them wanted to make abundantly clear.
I mean, I watched a little bit of his VP's speech because it happened to be streaming when I turned on YouTube one day. And I got a little concerned because I could see how, you know, she seems a lot more stable than he does. And I could definitely see middle-aged women, anti-vaxxers, identifying, but even beyond that a little bit. And that did concern me. But one of the things that made me laugh out loud was how she made this big show of saying how she will be the youngest vice president ever. I was like, are we just going to talk like that? Is that just part of the whole thing? Because you can't say the truth that you actually don't have any chance in hell. So you're going to have to.
She's manifesting.
Yeah, she's manifesting. Yeah, it was kind of amazing. But look, I think some of these articles summarize the wildest parts of that campaign, But it is concerning because I do think there is enough of that campaign that is appealing to a very specific kind of person. But that person, it turns out, are in larger numbers, I feel like, ever since COVID hit. So while I understand they will never win, I can't laugh them off yet. I don't have the same feeling as like Ross Perot or Ralph Nader. I have this feeling of, well, we actually have to pay attention to who is being drawn to this and understand it. I can't just push it aside.
In defense of the voter who thinks that RFK can win, these are the two oldest candidates ever by a long shot. We have a long way to go until November. Who knows? Neither one of them seem like they're long for this world for, you know, different reasons, but who knows? This could just be the most chaos election ever. And the chaos candidate is RFK Jr. And if chaos really takes hold, who knows what could happen? Like, you know, we could have an October surprise. We could have a September surprise. We could have a surprise all the way up to Election Day. So
surprises all the way down.
I mean, it's not 100% impossible. It's highly improbable. And he's never going to get a traditional amount of votes to like even win. I don't even know what they're expecting. 10%? 10% would be an enormous amount, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not happening as is. But
yeah, I think he's polling at 13% right now, but obviously but fluctuating.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was his highest poll.
I also think that this, I don't know if I want to call it delusion, because I would say it's more like misinformation. Because all four of us on here have a very thorough idea of how the election system works. But I wouldn't say, like, if you're talking high school graduates, people who are barely interacting with politics, just voting, there is that narrative of there are enough of us that if we all came together.
That's it for today's free sample. There's lots more of that particular episode, as well as there being dozens of past bonus episodes that you get access to in your feed the minute you sign up as a new member. Paying members are who make this entire show possible, and so these bonus episodes are a fun way to say thanks to them for their support. In addition to those full bonus episodes, members also get bonus clips in every single regular episode, as well as there being no ads in the regular show. If you would like to be our newest member, you can sign up at bestoftheleft.com/support. You can use our Patreon page, or you can do it from right inside the Apple Podcast app, and links to get there are right in our show notes. And if you can't afford membership, I offer free financial hardship memberships. Just drop me an email to j@bestoftheleft.com, and we will get you set up, no questions asked. Or again, to sign up and support the show and our ability to give away free financial hardship memberships, visit us at bestoftheleft.com/support. Thanks for listening.